Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciples, the one Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have laid him." So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in the strange strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter, who was behind him, arrived and went into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the burial cloth that had been around Jesus' head. The cloth was folded up by itself, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, also went inside. He saw and believed. They still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to their homes, but Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." At this, she turned round and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. "Woman," he said, "why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you carried him away, tell me where you've laid him, and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." Don't you wish you were called Mary? She turned towards him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet returned to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am returning to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord," and she told them what he had said these things to her.
Let's pray. Father God, we thank you and praise you for what we have witnessed already together today. We thank you for what we are celebrating in this place. And as we take a brief moment to look at your words, we pray, Lord God, that you will speak into each and every one of our hearts. Help us to see where we fit into this amazing story. In Jesus' name, amen. On May the 4th, 1864, after weeks of being laid on public display, the then President Abraham Lincoln, the President of the United States, was finally laid to rest. Although he was laid to rest, he did not rest in peace. You see, in 1876, there was a plot to raid his grave and steal his body. The plot was foiled, the plan didn't work. But 11 years later, there were rumors that his body was not in the tomb. So just to make sure, they dug it up and they opened up the casket to see if Lincoln's body was there. And guess what? Sure enough, Lincoln's body was in the tomb. But the rumors continued. And 14 years later after that, they had to dig his body up again just to check if his body was still there. And guess what? His body was still there. All in all, Lincoln's coffin was opened 5 times and his body was moved 17 times before finally laying to rest 36 years later inside a steel cage with 2 tons of concrete poured over it from 10 feet above it. But here's the thing. You can start all the rumors in the world about President Lincoln, but you can still visit his grave today. And guess what? His body is still there. Jesus was buried, however, and he is no longer in the grave. Not only is his body not there, but there were witnesses who saw him alive after he rose again. We read these words in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 3 to 8. I deliver to you, as of the first importance, what I also received, that Christ died in accordance with the Scriptures. He was buried, and he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12, then he appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time. Most of them are still alive, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then he appeared to the apostles, and last of all, as to one ultimately born, he appeared to me. When Jesus came back from the dead, he appeared to over 500 people. This is undisputed. This is undeniable. Jesus Christ is alive. And yet in our passage today, John focuses on just 3 witnesses to the resurrection. And it's those 3 witnesses that I want us to look at together this morning and just spend a brief amount of time thinking about today and asking ourselves the question, am I like one of these witnesses? And if so, which one? Firstly, there was John himself. He is referred to in his own gospel at times as either the other disciple or the disciple that Jesus loved. Then there was Peter, and then there was Mary Magdalene. And we're going to spend some time looking at how this account affected each and every one of them. So let's start this morning with John. John was with Peter when Mary Magdalene came over and reported the news that Jesus' body was no longer there. So as we've heard read in John 20, 4 and 5, and then in verse 8, we see this. The other disciple, that's John, outran Peter and reached the tomb first. And stooping in to look in, he saw the linen cloth lying there, but he did not go in. Then the other disciple, whom had reached the tomb first, also went in, and he saw and believed. Generally speaking, when we're talking about these disciples in the Gospels, Peter is always the one who is spoken about first before John. It's always Peter, James, and then John. John is always last, Peter is always first. But what we see from our scripture this morning, here, the script is flipped. John gets to the tomb first. He was so desperate to see what he had heard, that Jesus' body was no longer there, that he ran and he ran and he ran with all his might to beat Peter to the tomb. And what happens when he arrives? The scripture tells us that he looked in, he immediately saw, and he believed. But verse 9 tells us that even though he saw and believed, he did not yet understand. So that begs the question for us this morning. If John saw and he believed, but he didn't understand, what is it that he actually believed? Well, all that John really knew up until this point was what Jesus had actually taught him. So we could look at Mark chapter 8, 31 together today, for example, and it tells us this. Then Jesus began to teach that the Son of Man must suffer many things, be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and then he must be killed, and after the third day, he'll rise again. Mark 9, 31 tells us this. The Son of Man is going to be betrayed into the hands of men. They will kill him, and after 3 days, he over and over again, Jesus taught his disciples that the grave would not hold him, that death would not be the end, and that the crucifixion would not have the final words. And now, in this moment, John goes and he sees an empty grave, and suddenly he believes. He pays attention to Jesus' words. He may not have been able to connect all the dots at this point and put all of the Old Testament prophecies together, but he believed because he knew Jesus and he had heard the words of Jesus. But notice, the gospel account here doesn't tell us that John went and told anyone else about what he believed and what he saw. Why not? Maybe at this point he didn't really feel that he had enough evidence. I don't know why, but what we see is that John believed, and that was about it. And maybe that's where you find yourself today. Maybe you have come to believe in Jesus for yourself. Maybe you see him for who he is, but something up until this point in your life has actually prevented you from really committing your life to following him. Because maybe today you believe, but you just don't feel like you have all the answers. You want to have a relationship with him, but you're not really able to connect the dots on how this all works. Today, if that's you, the call is simple. Look again. See the empty tomb. Recognize that God is far and above our understanding. Realize today that you don't have to have all the answers. You don't have to have all your ducks in a row. But today you can come to him with all of your questions, with all of your doubts, with all of your hang-ups, with all of your insecurities, and you can know that Jesus Christ will accept you as you are. Why? Because 2,000 years ago, 2,000 miles away, God left his throne in glory. He came down, took on the form of a baby, grew up and lived the perfect life, and he died a death on a cross for you and for me, that we might be free. Because death could not hold him, and as a result, death will not hold us either. And as a result, you can have a changed life because of Jesus Christ and what he has accomplished. But the contrast is, while it seems like John turns up at the grave and he sees and he believes, it seems, at this point at least, Peter didn't believe. In our account today, we're not told that Peter said or felt anything when he arrived at the tomb. In fact, all we're told about Peter is that he just went home. In fact, nowhere in the Gospels are we told that Peter believes, at this point at least. Did Peter not believe? Well, that is possible, but actually I think it probably goes deeper than that. He probably had seen the evidence for himself. He probably understood what was going on. He probably saw the folded grave clothes there and could be in no doubt that what Jesus had taught them had come to pass. Because you see, the evidence was compelling. If Jesus' body was stolen by a robber or a grave thief, they wouldn't have taken the time to carefully unwrap the body and then fold the grave clothes up. They would have just taken the body as it was. The evidence was compelling, so what was the problem? I think the problem was Peter had realized and recognized that he had messed up. He was the one who denied Jesus. In fact, he didn't just deny Jesus. The Bible tells us he called down curses upon himself to say that he had never even met him. So when Peter sees this empty tomb and he realizes that all of the things that he had known was true, maybe he thought to himself that because I've messed up, the resurrection is meaningless to me. Because maybe he didn't think that Jesus would even like him anymore, let alone love him. So what was the point? And until Peter was to realize that Jesus did love him and was still passionate about him, even though he had gone his own way. The idea of the resurrection was one that Peter would always struggle with. And maybe that's where you find yourself today. Maybe you look back on your life and you look back with regret because you see the things that you've done in the past. You see how you have messed up and you have gone astray. You feel the shame of some decisions that you have made in your life and you're thinking to yourself, well, God could never love me. This is a lovely story for those who have lived a fairly decent life. But you don't know the things that I have done. Why would God ever be bothered with me? Here's the amazing truth about Easter Sunday. There is not a single person in this world who has not fallen short. There is not a single person in this world who has not turned their back on God and done things wrong, thought things wrong, and said things wrong. There is not a single person in this world who the Bible would not describe as once being an enemy of God. But here's the great news. The Bible tells us that whilst we were still enemies of God, whilst we were still sinners, Christ died for us. What happened on the cross on that Good Friday was for you. This extraordinary, overwhelming, never-ending love of God is for you. Whatever you might think or feel about yourself, God looks at you with an everlasting love. This is how the God of the universe views you. So don't let your past hinder you from coming to Jesus today. And the third character that we're told about in our passage today, in some ways, seems like a minor and unimportant character. She's actually only mentioned three times in the entire Gospels. Mary Magdalene is mentioned once in the Gospel of Luke, supporting Christ's ministry. And then she's mentioned at the cross. And then she's mentioned at the tomb. And then she's not mentioned anywhere else in Scripture. We hardly know anything about this woman. She didn't give any speeches. She didn't write any books or anything like that. But what we see from our passage today is she was a brave, tenacious, single-minded woman with a passion for the Messiah. John 20, verse 1 tells us this. Now on the first day of the week, that Sunday, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb early, while it was still dark, and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. When Mary got to the tomb and she saw the stone had been taken away, it seems like she looked at this scene and she had come to the conclusion at this point that someone had taken the body of Jesus. So she goes to tell Peter and John what she had found. But then she returns a little bit later on and we're told that she unknowingly starts speaking with angels. But then we read this. She turned around and she saw Jesus standing there, but she did not know it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Mary is this single-minded woman. If someone has stolen the body of my Messiah, I am going to get it back. She was willing to do whatever it took to honor the man who had changed her life. She was a woman of courage. You see, while the men were hiding away in fear of their lives, she stands firmly at the cross. She stands firmly at the tomb. No one or nothing is going to stop her being near to Jesus. So what about you? I wonder this morning on this Resurrection Sunday, as we celebrate together the fact that Jesus conquered death, where we have the amazing privilege to celebrate the new life of baptisms of those who have gone through these waters today. Which one of these characters can you identify with? Perhaps this morning you feel a little bit like Peter. Perhaps you know that you have messed up and there are things that have brought you shame and you're not sure that Jesus really wants to know you. You know, Peter recognized that Jesus had risen from the grave. He just didn't want to talk about it that much. Something was holding him back. And here's the thing that Peter's story teaches us today. When you feel like you've done the unthinkable, it's not the end. Because shortly after this, the disciples, they go out fishing. That's what they knew. They were fishermen. And they were fishing all night long. And they caught absolutely nothing. They were coming back to shore after their fishing trip, dejected and demoralized. And someone on the shore calls out and says, "Hey, have you got any fish?" "No," they call back. "Well, throw your net onto the other side." So they do. And as they do, they catch this miraculous catch of fish. And at this point, Peter realizes that it's Jesus on the shore. And he jumps into the water and he swims with all of his might because he knew that it was Jesus. And they have breakfast together. And immediately after breakfast, what do we see? We see Jesus reinstating Peter. This is what we read. "When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, 'Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?' 'Yes, Lord,' he said. 'You know that I love you.' Jesus said, 'Feed my lambs.' Again, Jesus said, 'Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?' He answered, 'Yes, Lord, you know that I love you.' Jesus said, 'Take care of my sheep.' The third time he had said to him, 'Simon, son of John, do you love me?' Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him a third time, 'Do you love me?' He said, 'Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you.' Jesus said, 'Feed my sheep. Very truly, I will tell you, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go.' Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Then he said, 'Follow me.'" Peter had done the unthinkable. He'd let Jesus down in his hour of need, but it wasn't the end for Peter. His past didn't end up defining him, but Jesus restores him. And not only does he restore him, he gives him a future and a purpose. And what he did for Peter, he can do for you as well. Jesus can take your life and he can turn it around. Jesus can take your mess and turn it into a message. Jesus can give your life meaning, purpose, and hope today. Why? Because the price of sin has been paid for and your slate has been wiped clean if you put your trust in him. But maybe today you're a little bit like John. You have a belief in Jesus, but you're not really ready to talk about it because you still have some doubts. And you still have some questions. And as a result, something is holding you back. My challenge to you this Easter is to simply pray and ask God to reveal himself to you again. Because here's the thing. You might be like Peter and messed up so bad, but you don't feel there's a way back. There is. You may be like John. At this point, you're not really overly sure if you can commit, and God is calling you to. But the example that I want to suggest this morning that we all need to look to from these characters is that of Mary Magdalene. You see, she too, like Peter, had got things drastically wrong in her life. The Bible describes her in Luke chapter 7 as a sinful woman. She too didn't understand it all. She thought Jesus was the gardener at first, and she thought his body had been stolen. But she simply loved Jesus, and no one was going to shut her up. She was bold and she was confident because she knew the difference Jesus could make in her life. And today, that's what those who have gone through the waters of baptism have declared and proclaimed. And today, that can be your truth too. So on this Sunday, this Easter Sunday, this Resurrection Sunday, where do you stand with this Jesus? Today, just as Mary did, he is calling you by name to come to him. And just as Mary did, we're called to respond to that call. I'm going to pray, and then I'm going to invite the band to come back up and to lead us. Father God, as we look at this story today, the greatest day in history, as we think about these three characters, maybe to some extent we can identify with all three. We may have doubts, we may have questions, we may not know the answers. Lord, my prayer today is that doesn't stop us living the life that you call us to live. Help us to boldly walk forwards with you, even when we don't know it all. We recognize that we're all like Peter. We've all messed up, we've all sinned, we've all gone our own way. Thank you, Lord God, for the example today which shows us that it's not the end. And Lord, for anyone who is living under the burden of guilt today, may that be freed in Jesus' name. And may we all take on that characteristic of Mary today, being single-minded, courageous, and brave to follow you with everything that we have. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.